That's a big question. I am committed to restoring MAP funding, and I'm committed to replacing the lost revenues to those universities who have done the right thing. And I think it's everyone to date this semester, at least in the first semester, to doing the right thing. MAP funding is an important part of our higher education commitment. It keeps students in Illinois. It keeps our universities vibrant, and it needs to be done. I don't know where that mix is going to come out. The governor has said, and I think we've all seen abuses, what the public thinks are abuses when it comes to higher ed spending. And although they are abuses and they get the headlines, and they're probably not as significant as what we really need in education funding. But it's why I talk about making our public universities non-for-profit private universities and some of the ways they could be more efficient and, I think, held accountable to a different standard versus... There are people, obviously, who are disappointed in the College of DuPage and what they've done. There are people who are disappointed in the payoff of the former president of Illinois State University, where we sit today. Those are significant, but also there are more things that need to be done, and that's why I continue to promote a study and looking forward to what we can do that other states have done to save resources, reinvest in higher education by making those public universities, not for private, private, with more flexibility and freedom so they can compete against my alma mater, Illinois Wesleyan, and other private, non-for-profit universities.
Where stands that effort? Obviously, that's a huge policy change and would require a lot of deep looks and scrutiny before it happens. What's the governor's response to the idea, Ben, and where does your effort stand?
I think the governor's very open to it. I think we're all a bit distracted on several issues, this being one, with the lack of a budget. But I have had numerous members of the higher education community willing to engage in an advisory group to help me move this forward. It's a bit premature publicly, given the circumstances that we're surrounding. I've talked to the governor about it. He's got an open ear. I think many people do, although some are scared of that monumental of change, and I certainly understand that. And when I initiated it, I knew it would be a sea change, and it would require a lot of education, a lot of study. But I do think it's paramount to the future of the success of those public universities today that are struggling.
Will there be studies funded on
it? Well, in my discussions with my advisory members, one idea is that we would need a significant amount of dollars to do a study that could be used to sell the advantages of this. And there's been some discussions about trying how we would raise that money outside of government, Illinois government, and accomplish that. That's one avenue. And it's one we're taking seriously under advisement.
How much money would that study take to determine whether there would be significant advantages?
Yeah. I've heard numbers, and we don't have any quotes because we've kind of put this on a back burner until we resolve this crisis that we face financially. But we've heard numbers of anywhere from $3 million to $8
million. K-12 education has largely been held harmless this year because of Governor Rauner's campaign promise and because that was one thing that both sides were able to get together on, although they weren't able to get together on maybe 18 other appropriations bills for the state. But given the deadlock now, K-12 is across the board having to plan for draconian cuts next year because it's unclear what's going to happen. They have to plan for that eventuality. And they actually haven't been given what they were promised over the last 7 years. They've spent 92% to 78% of what was supposed to be given them. So they're in a situation across the board of having larger class sizes. And Unit 5 Superintendent Mark Daniel came in and said, you know, that's going to erode the education reforms that No Child Left Behind did bring, the more astute attention to individual instruction. It will revert to classrooms of 10 to 15 years ago where the teacher taught to the class as a whole and you hope Johnny can learn?
Well, I think we've come further than that. And I do understand why some people say it's less than what they were promised. Although I think there's another argument. Yes, we're funding a percentage of full funding, but it was what it was appropriated so people can plan. They know the dollars that are coming. I want to see full funding at the level you're talking about. But until we resolve the stalemate, I will say that many of us didn't want to see our teachers and our school children and our parents held hostage in this, and that was why we were able to convince Governor Rauner to actually sign
K-12.
The K-12 budget. I'm glad that we don't have to deal with that and that teachers and students aren't held hostage. We do need reforms. You know, we can't grow our state to the level we need until we get property tax relief. Education funding is the biggest part of property tax relief, so there are those of us who want to see more money come from the state coffers and less from the property tax.
Are there still about 15 different property tax bills down there, or is it narrowed to something that's coalescible?
I don't know if there's narrowed to enough to be what you would call coalescible. The Democrats have played games with this. They've thrown up property tax votes, but you can't just freeze property taxes without giving local governments the ability and the flexibility to manage their expenditures better, which is what we've been arguing for at the local level. There's a continual disdain at the state level for giving flexibility and freedom to local elected officials on the part of the Democrats. I don't grasp it. I'm a local control type of person. I believe that the more local you keep it, the more public input you have and the better resolution and policies you come up with.
But doesn't sound like another such K-12 compromise is likely to happen.
You know, I don't know. I as I said earlier, it's the 16 budget is over with. We have to come up with some solutions for MAP funding and higher education and local things and some social services that the governor's outlined in
patches
in his 3-year budget projection that he's required to by law.
Patches for this year, but you're arguing that most of the effort should be on the 17 budget.
Absolutely. It should be on a transportation bill. With the federal passage of a transportation bill, we need to cooperate and coordinate state resources that we have. We need a budget for 17. If Mike Madigan says you're not going to have a budget ever that's balanced, we might not have a budget ever, and that's unfortunate. But that's how much power he has right now. And either others have to bring pressure on him to do that, or the voters have to bring pressure on him, if not the special interest groups. And unfortunately, we're in a situation where he has a supermajority. I'm hoping we can peel away that supermajority in the next election. We'll see.
What can you tell us about the Mitsubishi plant situation, the efforts to find a new buyer that will avoid tearing that place down?
Well, I want to compliment Jim Schultz and the Department of Economic Opportunity, and I want to compliment Kyle Hamm at the local level and Mitsubishi and its employees for all their efforts in trying to do this. I've been part of a task force since it was first announced, and I can tell you we've got a great asset in this community. We've got a great workforce. We've got great opportunities. The stumbling blocks that we face in terms of getting the businesses to invest in that plant and in our location are not the quality of life we have here in Bloomington Normal or the quality of schools. Those are all positives. But the economic concerns that have faced us, I think, create a great deal of consternation on the part of anyone, as well as some of the other business concerns. You take a state that has the highest property tax rate in the nation. That gives great concern to any business coming in. You take a state that doesn't allow local governments to negotiate on collective bargaining and other things like that. You take a state that has one of the highest workers' compensation costs of any state in the nation. These have all been stumbling blocks for us as we've looked particularly at large operators. But we're not going to let anything dissuade our efforts to turn every stone and uncover every opportunity we can find.
Is the state in any position to contribute to the attraction of a new owner?
Absolutely.
What could be had?
Well, you look at what you've got to look at is what are the revenues that the state would achieve as a result of someone coming in and occupying that.
There's been some skepticism about edge tax credits, though. The governor has expressed some reluctance to continue
he doesn't have
that
a budget.
Sort of thing.
I think it's mostly founded in the fact he doesn't have a budget. But the way I'm a business person, and whatever we do, it has to have a return on investment. And so we have to look at if an employer comes to town, what are the returns on investment? How much do we save by people moving from unemployment to employment financially? How much do we gain by property taxes? How much do we gain by sales taxes? How much do we gain by income taxes? We can't give all of that away, but if we're shrewd enough to account for that and we get a return on that investment and a long-term return, which frankly, Mitsubishi wasn't a permanent return, but it was a fairly long-term return, and I would...
There have been studies suggesting it was a good deal.
I don't think there's any question it was a good deal. And there's intangibles in addition to the tangibles that would have to be counted amongst the benefits. And there are always those. But when you look, any major employer who comes in is going to contribute to the economics of the state, the economics of the community. We can add those up and we can say, okay, those are things we can give back to you in part.
So you believe that there would be state incentives available if the deal were good enough.
But I don't think it's just that. It's also, you know, stability in property taxes, stability in workers' compensation, other things that would be important to a company in addition to just cash rebates based on participation.
We're aware of an Illinois manufacturer who was a top prospect who withdrew for a couple different possible reasons. Accounts vary on that. Are you aware of any live high-level prospects for the plant?
What do you mean by high-level?
I mean a major manufacturer that could use all or at least half the plant who is signaling serious intent.
The answer is... yes, signaling, interested, serious, I don't know. You know, that remains to be seen. I'm, you know, by profession, I'm a real estate broker, so I know the sales process. And, I, you know, sometimes you can't read that, and a lot of those decisions have to do with a lot of circumstances that surround. But there's no question in my mind that Mitsubishi withdrawing from employing at the plant has opened the eyes of many large and small participants who might engage in making that more active, and we just need to be there to assist and do everything we can to make sure we maximize those opportunities. And I'm not liberty to mention anyone by name, but there continues to be interest. The level of seriousness of that interest is something that only the participants can gauge, and by that I mean the potential employers.
Mayor Chris Koos has talked about a couple of people whose timeline is not immediate, who might become more serious a year or two down the road. What do you think about what's currently live?
I'm sure we're both talking about the same people.
What else can you tell us without violating confidentiality clauses in the search process?
I can only tell you that the state is here to help the local governments in the process to market the property and to be there to make sure that Illinois would be a competitive place, regardless of what it would take. We would be open to making this the most competitive and successful environment for anybody who needs that facility of any state in the nation.
State Senator Bill Brady, thanks so much for joining us.
Great to be with you.